We could all probably stand to get a bit more sleep. Researchers in the United States have found that is a particular issue for men over the course of their whole lives. And they say the less a man sleeps, the more people perceive him to be stereotypically masculine. Let's find out how they arrived at that conclusion and whether this is a problem that we need to address on a society-wide level. I'd love your perspective. Is sleep something that you've seen men struggle with more than women or struggle with for different reasons? Nathan Warren is a PhD candidate at the University of Oregon and the co-author of this paper, The Sleep-Deprived Masculinity Stereotype. Nathan, welcome to Life Matters.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Oh, I'm very pleased to talk to you. It's a fascinating idea. Tell us about your experience in grad school that kind of got the cogs whirring in your mind about this.
Yeah, so I woke up and I was raised in a family that really, you know, valued sleep. And I'd always been told, you know, you get a good night's sleep, you have a good day the next day, you live a healthy life, and you can be productive. And I get to grad school in a place that is supposed to value science and, you know, would support all of the science in favor of sleep. And there was this kind of idea that sleep was somehow shameful, like we shouldn't be sleeping that much. And I was getting this vibe from even people who were researching sleep and were researching how important sleep is. Then they were turning around and it was kind of like a, you're not supposed to talk about getting sleep, and it's probably a bad thing if you tell people you're getting a good night's sleep.
And was there a difference between how men and women talked about sleep back then?
So in grad school, that there certainly was. And I see this more at conferences and things like that where I'd go and there'd be these panels talking about how you would work on work-life balance. And that was a term that was often brought up, but it was usually the female academics who were talking about work-life balance and the importance of, you know, taking care of your mind and your body. And we weren't sure exactly why it was that the men weren't really talking about these problems, but it really seemed something that just wasn't really addressed by men.
Well, let's look in a bit more detail at the data, what we actually know. Tell us how much men actually sleep compared to women.
So on average, we're talking about a half hour less per day. And there's a bit of variance between different studies on how much that is. But some of the best data that we have recently came out from actually Fitbit. They were able to measure how much, about 2 billion nights sleep. So, and found that men are averaging about 20 to 30 minutes less than women every night.
And how do we know that's not just because they don't need as much sleep as women?
Well, there's no evidence that that would be true. I suppose it could be true. Either way, there is this pretty dramatic problem across men and women across the globe that people are really not sleeping enough. And there is, again, this pattern across the globe that men are sleeping less. And there's not really a good reason why men should need less. And so we were just trying to figure out what might be one of the reasons that men might be sleeping less. And that's what led us to this stereotype research.
And just before we delve into that, because that's a fascinating can of worms, tell us what harmful effects could flow from not getting enough sleep.
Right. That's a great question. So there's this idea out there that somehow sleeping less will help people be more productive and more successful. And somehow, as we'll talk about, more masculine. But the reality is all of the research on sleep shows that people who sleep more are going to be a lot healthier. They're going to be a lot more successful at work. They're going to be more successful in their relationships. There's one great study out there that just looks at daylight savings time, and that little one-day switch of losing an hour of sleep to daylight savings leads to just huge, huge losses of productivity at work, and actually large incidences of accidents. People end up basically getting injured more the following day because they didn't sleep enough. So there's all kinds of big societal problems with even losing a small amount of sleep for one night only.
We're speaking with Nathan Warren, a PhD candidate at the University of Oregon and the coordinator of this study into links between, a suspected link between people's perceptions of masculinity and male sleeplessness. So, Nate, how did you set out to test this idea of this link?
Yeah, so we started off with really just a very simple design. We just recruited a bunch of people to take a quick survey And half of the people, we had them read a little scenario where it said, you know, a man is going into a bed store to buy a bed. And the clerk says to him, how much do you sleep? Half the time, the guy says, I sleep a lot. And the other half of the people read, I don't sleep very much. And then we just had them rate that man on 10 different characteristics. One of them was masculinity. And it turned out that the man who says, I don't sleep very much, people rated him as more masculine. And we did that study a few different times and kept finding that same result over and over again.
And what definition of masculinity did you use? I mean, was it clear what people meant when they described someone as more or less masculine than someone else?
That's a great question, and actually a huge problem that people have been struggling with for a long time is how do we define masculinity? For the most part in our studies, we let people define it as they wanted to. We just used the term masculinity and let people decide what that meant. In that first study, we also had the word macho in there, which is usually considered related to masculinity. And we also used a number of other measures, which are called agentic measures, which is ideas of being individualistic and leadership qualities. And we found those also went right along with the masculinity measures. And that's pretty consistent with prior research also.
So, Nate, are you arguing that the ideas that people have that these men are more or less masculine actually have a causal effect in the world that make men generally less inclined to sleep enough? I mean, people's judgments about fictitious men on surveys might be quite different to what real men do in the real world.
Right. So we didn't actually go out there and manipulate how much sleep people are getting or any of that. We would certainly like to see more research in that area. What we did do is we asked people to just imagine saying, I sleep a lot, or I don't sleep very much. And then we asked them how masculine they felt. We found that even just that simple statement, even just saying aloud to someone else or imagining saying aloud to someone else, I don't sleep very much, those men then felt more masculine or reported feeling more masculine.
Wow. So how early in life are these habits set and these ideas? Do they crop up in our youth when we start to see the power of caffeine and exam deadlines and men start to go, I can do this?
I certainly am not too sure on when exactly they start cropping up in life, but we do see this sleep problem throughout life cycles. With men, it's pretty consistent. There's certainly women experience a pretty, you know, clear dip in their sleep amounts at the time that they have young children. But for men, it's kind of consistent across their lives. And we see that for a number of different reasons. The most recent addition, the newest reason, is certainly screens. But it's for men, it's often kind of the social bits, whether that's going out to the pub and drinking with people or being on screen or watching a television, versus females that changes in sleep amount tend to be more family-based.
So they're getting up to deal with children and men are scrolling?
Yes.
On average?
Yeah.
It's not a, you know, not a black and white thing?
Yeah. It's certainly not a black and white thing, but this is some of the other research that has looked at the differences in male and female sleep and has found those big differences, yeah.
Where did women in stereotypically male environments fit into this equation, Nate? Was their sleep also affected by these kinds of social ideas and judgments?
So that's a great question and something that we actually were hoping someone else was going to tackle in the future. We certainly see that in the pop press and certainly see this as something that is a very important domain for future research. I talk about Arianna Huffington, and she has a very famous book about how when she became this powerful CEO, she felt that there was a lot of pressure on her to not sleep at all, because that was kind of the boardroom culture. She felt that was very harmful for her and ended up writing a book about it. We also can pick up popular examples like Margaret Thatcher was pretty famous for her lack of sleep and her belief that was somehow correlated with her productivity and success as a politician.
And you've also observed that more research needs to be done to look at how these ideas about traditional gender characteristics affect people who don't fit into a binary mold. How might that work be done, Nate?
Yeah, we certainly think that, you know, the kind of changing ideas of what it means to be a man or what it means to be a woman offer some possibilities for, you know, men to, or people who identify as men or people who identify as non-binary, could start to question these stereotypes and start to kind of question the value of keeping or ascribing to these stereotypes.
Well, sorry, keep going.
No, sorry, I'm just start hailing on me, that's all.
Oh, no, it's hailing. Oh, how unfortunate. Well, if I want to talk for another couple of minutes and then I'll let you get out of the hail.
It's all good. I sorted it out.
Oh, good. You found an issue in the course of your work, didn't you, with the term toxic masculinity. Tell us how your thinking evolved on that.
Right. So we went into this thinking of toxic masculinity as a term because we were thinking there's a stereotype about masculinity that's very toxic to the men who believe that stereotype, right? If I believe that sleep is not masculine and I sleep less, that's bad for me. But what we found out is that a lot of the people who are using this term toxic masculinity are more thinking of the ways that these masculine stereotypes are harming other people. And what we end up thinking in terms of the sleep-deprived masculinity stereotype is that it's really going to be harmful to everyone, right? It's going to be harmful to the men who believe it and they don't sleep. It's going to be harmful to the people around them because they're going to be jerks. And it's going to be harmful to society as a whole because it turns out it costs a lot of money in terms of these people having bad healthcare outcomes, you know, being more likely to fall asleep at the wheel, and a number of other issues related to sleeplessness.
Yes, I am thinking of men in dangerous and traditionally male-dominated jobs like mining or farming or in the army. I would want those people to be very well rested and in control of the implements that they're wielding. Nate, just finally, why is there this masculine resistance to the message of how important sleep is and healthcare, self-care more generally? Do we know?
Right, because there's a very symbolic masculinity is incredibly important for men. The idea that they need to be perceived by other people as masculine. And this has been shown throughout societies across the world, just that men really care about, on average, men really care about their masculine identities. And so anything that society says is masculine is going to be appealing to those men. And I think this might be getting worse as we see some of the traditional kind of masculine norms, you know, a father as a breadwinner and someone who can afford a house, as a lot of those kind of, those norms get questioned and it becomes harder and harder to get a long-term stable career. A lot of blue-collar jobs, at least in the United States, are certainly getting harder and harder to come by. They're getting shipped overseas. And I think that those are kind of making it more important for men to find other ways to show that they're somehow masculine.
And I guess the definition of masculinity will change depending where you are at the time, which country you're in, which culture you're in, what kind of religious background people have, all those kinds of things. But Nate, I've been seeing some interesting changes in Australia, at least when it comes to the role modelling of sports people. You know, there's good and bad, but there's some lovely stuff coming out about people saying, I want to prioritise my family. Male sports role models saying, I'm going to step aside from the game for a while. I'm going to be with my partner and newborn child, things like that. Are you seeing changes in the States too when it comes to the kinds of messages that men might send about healthcare in general and caring?
It's interesting you brought up athletes because we do point at that as one of the real promising areas in terms of men's health and male role models in the world. I mentioned earlier, you know, corporate executives and politicians being pretty bad examples. But we see athletes in the United States, we're talking about best football players like Tom Brady, basketball players like LeBron James. We're also seeing international stars like Usain Bolt and Roger Federer, the tennis player, are all very prominent in talking about how much they value sleep and how sleep has been integral to their success. And so it's not just know, sleep is kind of the foundation of their success out in the world, and really the foundation of their being able to thrive for a long time in their careers and personal lives.
Fantastic to see that those seeds of change out there. Nate Warren, thanks so much for your time. It's been a really interesting discussion. Nate's a PhD candidate at the University of Oregon, and we'll post a link to Nathan's study on our Life Matters website so you can have a look for yourself.